Several years ago, I read an issue of Smithsonian Magazine. It's a magazine which very often is a little over my head. But this article was wonderful. It was entitled 101 Objects That Made America. And the article listed 101 material things which hold value because of the human traits they symbolize. The list included all sorts of cool things. Neil Armstrong's space suit, Bell's phone, Edison's light bulb, and the ruby slippers from the Wizard of Oz. Now, despite the title of this article, these objects did not make America. They symbolize what made America. The spirit of invention and exploration, the intellect and the imagination to light the darkness, the realization that despite all the other things we wish for, there's no place like home. These objects mean nothing in themselves. If not carefully preserved, they would have already been lost to rust, breakage, or degradation into the dust of the earth. Now, if we pretend that material objects have intrinsic value, then we give the mortal and the material a power that it cannot sustain. If we do that, we value mortality over immortality. We value the temporal over the transcendent, the human over the divine. We assign life to objects which are actually inanimate. Our God is not a God of objects, but of spirit and of love. God is not a God who gives us earthly prosperity, but one who gives us transcendence. As Jesus said in John's Gospel, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." The food that perishes is the material, the physical. The food that endures for eternal life is the Spirit of God infused in us through Jesus. We are physical beings, and so it's our instinct to emphasize those physical things over the things that we cannot touch or hear or see. Here in the church, we have many objects: bread and wine, water, books, oil, banners, colors. We have our own 101 objects. But those objects don't feed us in any way, but they inspire us and empower us by teaching us what's behind them. Our faith does involve incarnation, so we value the material with the spiritual, the body and the soul. As one writer says, we value and live in the paradox of dust and divinity. We live our lives out in mortal flesh, the dust, but we are enlivened and inspired and allowed to live by forever by divinity. We seek, in these objects we use, we seek the divinity beyond the dust. I feel like sometimes Jesus came close to losing patience with his followers, who seem sometimes unable to get past the material and the literal. He wanted to say, it's not about bread, it's about something bigger, transcendent. And so he kept pushing them, and he pushes us to see the eternal message behind the temporal things. Now, lest we get too critical of his listeners, don't we too often worry about the things of religion, forgetting that the one great commandment is to love God and love one another? I won't ask for a show of hands, but I suspect there are people here who are harboring a little anxiety that they're talking about changing the prayer book again. you're not a longtime Episcopalian, you can understand this anxiety in that we call this one that we use now the New Prayer Book, and it came out in 1979. We very often cling to the things, to the objects. We argue over doctrine. We sometimes, maybe too often, focus on the dust instead of the divinity. We seek the bread of life from God, and it sounds wonderful and fluffy and just magic. But seeking this bread that will not perish is not easy. It is incredibly difficult to do. With the rush of things around us that is material, it's easy to focus on those instead of on spirituality. And that may explain the old adage that says the church, the greater church, including this one, the church is here to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. If we get too comfortable, we're doing the things of religion and not embracing what is behind those things. One of my favorite two books on spirituality is something called The Divine Conspiracy. The author, Dallas Willard, talks about our inability to do those difficult things, to follow Jesus beyond the objects, beyond the tangible, beyond the law. Dallas Willard says, we have heard him for almost 2 millennia, we have heard him, but we have chosen not to do what he said. To succeed in keeping the law, one must aim at something other and something more. One must aim to become the kind of person from whom the deeds of the law naturally flow. Listening to God and embracing those things beyond means we have to change. We have to be transformed. We have to be afflicted in our comfort. We have to remember, though, that we are not here for objects, but for the life-giving force that they represent. We are here to find divinity among and beyond the dust. We're here not simply to interact with objects, bread and wine and water, books, or even other mortal flesh. We are here to feed each other spiritually, to join together in the covenant of baptism, to pray for and support one another. We are here to use those temporal things to gesture toward and apprehend the transcendent. Like Thomas Edison, we are trying to light the darkness. So we worship not the book, but the Word of God made flesh in Jesus. Like Alexander Graham Bell, we search for ways to connect with other human beings, those who are in our hearts and souls, but not always with us physically. So in our book, we share the prayers of the people, given substance with our voices and our prayer books and our community. Like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, we desperately seek to return home. So we are baptized into the death of Jesus so that we can live in eternity with him. And being in eternity with Jesus is the ultimate goal of all human existence. We believe in resurrection. We believe that, as Jesus said, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven, the bread that will not perish. We are here to find and be fed by God, not by the things around us, which will eventually turn to dust. The spacesuits, the phones, the light bulbs, and the ruby slippers. We're not even here to find, literally, bread. We are here to to try to learn to see the divinity beyond the dust. We are here to consume and to be consumed by nothing less than the eternal bread of life.